welcome to the AA Meeting on Air on 104.6 Planet FM. My name is Jennifer. I'm an alcoholic and will be chairing our meeting this morning. Please welcome our speakers today, Manav, Albert and Matt, who will be sharing their experience, strength and hope with you all. Would you like to help me now and open this meeting with the Serenity Prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other, that they may share their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, political organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy. Neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Now, starting off our sharing this morning will be Manav. Manav, welcome to the program today, and if you'd like to share with us.
Hello everyone, I'm Manav, an alcoholic. Thank you for having me on the show. So my story began fairly young, but about 18. I started drinking about 18, 19, as you do when you come into university and stuff like that. It's something I always grew up with, you know, like with all the adults around me and where I grew up in India. I just thought it's something that everybody who grows up does, you know, it's just a rites of passage thing. I never saw anything good or bad or anything with it. I just saw everyone around me drank. My uncles, my dad, you know, his brothers, everyone. Fast forward to in my 20s, here and there it got pretty bad, and then, you know, I'd lay off of it. It wasn't all that bad when I first started drinking. It was just on the weekends or, you know, just once a month or something like that, just to do something with the friends and things of that nature. But in so doing, I think what was happening was I was trying to compensate for something that even I didn't have to realize what it was back then. It was just fun and games to me, to be honest. It was good times. I just didn't want those good times to end. If there was anything to do with emotions, I didn't want to have anything to do with it. I just wanted to drink, have a good time, be left alone. In so doing, my life did suffer here and there. Nothing too bad. But then It started to get bad around about my 30s, I would believe. I'd gone to AA once, maybe about 7 years ago or 6 years ago now, and didn't want to have a bar of it. Because when I walked in, the first thing I realized was I had to be abstinent. And what I thought was AA is a place where you come to fix your drinking, or, you know, just to become better at coping with drinking. And when I realized you had to be abstinent, I walked out the door and I didn't look back. As they say, went out and did more research. But as the big book says, and those who go through the program realize, it's a progressive illness, and it progressively got worse for me. When I finally decided I had to come back to the meetings, I was in a pretty bad shape. I was a daily drinker. Not to say 24/7, but I'd go 3 to 4 days blackout, 2 days, so I'd have like maybe memory of one or two of those 3 days, and then I'd sober up just enough so that I could start drinking again, or I would be in a pretty bad shape where, you know, you'd have like heartburn and things like that. I'd just wait to heal up so I can start drinking again. And unsure why I wasn't able to drop the bottle, or unsure why I wasn't able to stop when I started. So I'd stop for a month, 2 months, maybe even 3 months, and then the next time an occasion came up, I'd start up again and I'm not able to put the drop bottle down for 2 to 3 days. Obviously, that got pretty bad with my family. It rained hell on them just to see someone they love drink that much, not have a control. All in the same time, I was still functioning, still working, things of that nature. I would never drink on the job, but I'd drink just enough at this on the weekend or my weekend, because I did shift work, to start drinking after I finished work till a day before I had to start work, stuff like that. So, and that's not a manageable life, you know. And then when I walked back in, I was just on the behest of actually rehab. I have to say that I wanted rehab, and my wife was convincing me to go to rehab, and I spoke to a lady in rehab, and she said, "No, you sound fine." I was like, "No, lady, I'm pretty bad. I don't know what's going on." She's like, "Look, you sound still pretty good. Why don't you give AA a shot? We anyway tend to send people to AA," and that struck a nerve, like that struck a chord, basically. Like, you know, I was like, "Oh, you know, I've done AA before, that one meeting." And I had a friend of mine who was in the program quite a while back, and he had mentioned, so it started jogging those memories. So then I went back, and my first meeting, I heard all the right things, you know. I saw the steps on the wall, so I was like, okay, this is regimental, that's what I need. There's a God, I have God in my life. And somebody said, listen to some similarities. I'm uncertain if it was my first meeting or very, very soon I started listening to the similarities. And more than listening to the similarities, I started listening to the differences. I still don't want AA. I wanted a drink. I wanted to have my life. I just didn't want to have it be bothersome in my life. And putting in all that effort just to decode and decipher this program so that I can drink, one day it just struck me and saying, hang on, I can put the same effort in not drinking. And that's what I started doing. I started putting the effort not to drink and the measures not to drink. Because I had promised myself I'll not pick up a drink till I figure out how to drink properly. And the only way I figured out how to not drink properly is to not drink at all. For me, it was a no-go. If I drink, I'll drink for 2-3 days straight. Even if I've been abstinent for like 4, 5, 6 years, doesn't matter. At the moment, I am 3 years sober. Which is going brilliant, and it's taken me 3 years to work through my emotions. It's taken me that long to realize I had emotions that I hadn't worked on, to become a better person, to, you know, just to be there for my wife, or my child, how they need me to be for them. Not my input, but theirs. This program has taught me that. This program has, you know, let me give it away to my higher power. My higher power is God. I never had two ways about that. I never knew this. You had to choose a higher power thing. For me, it was easy. Which was really good. So a lot of the program came to me very easily. It's just that I was stubborn not to pay attention to what I needed to do in order to stay sober, in order to become that better version of myself. And slowly but surely, I got there. Like they say, if you don't get the if you don't get AA first, just wait and it'll get you. And that's the methodology I adopted, I believe, because in the end, it got me. And what can I say? I attribute my current state of life to AA, the steps, my sponsor, my fellowships, and my service. That is what I have to do in order to live the best life I can lead. At the moment, it's working brilliantly. I do 3 to 4 meetings a week, and that gets me set for the week. And then the rest of the time, if I do miss meetings, I fill it up with service. And that's the best life I can lead. That's all I can say. So thank you for having me on, and thank you for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much, Manav, and thank you for being of service this morning. So next up, we've got Albert. Welcome to the show, Albert. Would you like to share with us, please?
Sure. My name's Albert. I'm an alcoholic. Excuse me. I enjoyed your sharing. And listening to your sharing also reminded me of some of the stuff that I learned when I first came into these rooms. My date of my birthday, if you like, is the 7th of December, 1991, is when I first came into these rooms, is when my life started to take a turn for the better. I am a member of the Akron group here in Auckland. It is a good group, so if you're in Auckland on a Tuesday night and you want to go to a really great meeting, Akron Tuesday night is the place to go, so to speak. I started drinking when I was in high school, and I met up with a couple of guys who I had a lot in common with in terms of sports and in terms of academic ambitions and things like that. And I formed a really good bond with a lot of these guys. And then as we progressed through high school, it got to a point where then it turned from all of that to sex and drinking and stuff. And I followed suit. But, you know, while my other mates had control over their drinking, I thought it was the best thing that ever happened to me. It enabled me to overcome my shyness. It enabled me to overcome my fears of being unacceptable and not being, liked and accepted. And alcohol did all of those things for my social life. It allowed me to become loud, brash, and arrogant. And then I went on to university, and unbeknown to me, I felt that, you know, the only release from the boring and dull life that I lived was through alcohol and drugs. And I really pursued that in such a big way. I was a binge drinker. I'd drink on a Friday night until there was nothing left to drink. And then I'd drink other people's drinks. I'd go to parties, often uninvited. And my arrogance knew no bounds. And I just became, unmanageable. My whole social fabric was around getting drunk and being so opinionated about a lot of issues that, you know, I could see that there were people who were by now beginning to move away from me and judge me what I thought was a great drinking career. One of the things I also noticed was that when I was going into my mid-20s, I was more occupied by where my next drink was going to come from, where my next drug was going to come from, as opposed to looking at improving myself as a person and getting a good job and a career and forming a better relationship with at the time the women that I knew and moving on. A lot of my friends by now were beginning to get married and take on mortgages and learning to become more responsible for and having families. But I wasn't. I had no switch off button to tell me to do that. And so well into my 30s, I still expected all my great mates to be able to join me for a drink on a Monday night, for example, and leave their families behind and come out and have a good time like we did when we were younger. It never occurred to me that, you know, it was time to take on responsibilities and things like that. So I continued to drink. And then I fell foul of the law. And, you know, by now I was beginning to incur more DICs and I was beginning to incur more of the wrath of going to court and you know, being punished and having my driver's license taken off me. And everything else around me seemed to be falling apart except for my jobs. I still managed to keep my job, and I still managed to be able to afford a life whereby I can go out and drink and socialize like a 19 to a 24-year-old. And, you know, I didn't realize just how unmanageable my life was until I got into a relationship. And by now, the woman I was with was beginning to, you know, to peck on my drinking and my socializing, and was beginning to have a really negative impact on our relationship. And so it got to a point where I was actually tired of it. I was tired of the nagging. I was tired of the constant accusations of me being this kind of a larrikin and things like that. And I was also getting to a point, though, where I thought that my life was going nowhere. I was tired of being sick and tired of my drinking, of the hangovers and things like that. So I had quite a few problems that I had to look at again. And you know, by now I had decided to go to AA, and AA was beginning to showcase for me exactly what an emotionally immature person that I was, and that, you know, at I was allowing, you know, my own reckless behavior to affect my family and things like that. But, you know, I persevered, I persisted, and with the help of a lot of other people around me in fellowships that I have been to, I've learned to grow up. I've learned that through this program, there is hope. I've learned through this program that, you know, I can do things like, you know, look after my family better than I ever had. And I also realized that, you know, the only way that I could actually become a better and more responsible father was to change my attitudes around my social behavior, and to look at how I could become a better person by going to more meetings and listening to the sharing of people that have really impacted my life and have encouraged me to become a better man. I guess one thing that I can say for AA is that it's helped me to turn my life around. It's helped me to become a much better person today. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Albert. It was really great to hear your story this morning. And lucky last this morning is Matt. Welcome to the show, Matt. Great to have you here.
Yeah, good evening, all.
Would you like to share?
Sure. Well, I've been thinking about where to begin, but I think I'll start at the start. I've been, had been drinking from the age of about 12. I remember it vividly, and it had a lot to do with my proclivities towards escapism, which I'd always had as a child. And after being sort of introduced to the real world by going away to boarding school, I returned with quite a bit of anxiety. And that anxiety was, I guess, in some sense, quashed by the initial taking of the alcohol that I did. And I remember it quite clearly. After taking a drink around that age, I noticed just how relaxed I became and how at one I felt with things, and it took away the anxiety for me. And this progressively sort of became, you know, more significant over my teenage years, and I used it to find escapism from the difficulties of growing older and becoming an adult, and something I never really wanted to do. I still don't to this day, to be honest. But I decided that a career move for me around this time would be to become an actor, and that was a good way to escape as well, and to create new fictional versions of myself. And the alcohol just kept happening behind the scenes. So I was very, caught out pretty early on, and when a few trauma events took place over the, sort of initial periods of growing into my 20s, I lost a friend quite young to an accident, a very close friend, and the way we all dealt with it was to drink alcohol, even though that may have been a something that may have contributed to his death, because he came off his bike and I believe he had been having a few drinks, as people did in flats in Wellington at the time, and maybe just wasn't quite aware of his surrounds or his speed or whatever he was doing. But having lost him, I sort of became, I guess, a lot more confused about life, and alcohol just became more and more and more consistent. And that went right through all of my sort of acting days and working in TV and film. And then, I would often be hungover on set or arriving at jobs or auditions without being able to remember my lines because, I was just sort of worn out and hadn't really paid close attention to what I needed to do. And so over time, I ended up, self-sabotaging, whether it was conscious or semi-conscious or subconscious, it just happened. And this went on for a long time. So cutting forward to in recent years, so I've been sober close to 2 years now. I will be on the 26th of December. It was my mother who turned to me 2 years ago and said, look, because I'd gone up to Christmas at their place, I'd taken a bottle of gin, and I just decided to top up with that after Christmas. And she approached me and said, look, if you don't stop, you're out, we can't have you in the family. And because it was so consistent, I was always a consistent drinker. And funnily enough, or weirdly, or whatever way you want to look at it, the next day I got very sick from a bug that I caught from my nephew. I went home and I was on the floor for nearly 3 or 4 days. It was one of those neurovirus things, which is a bit like food poisoning, and I was totally incapacitated. And in that time frame, I detoxed, and I truly believe to this day that it was divine intervention of some form, because I couldn't stop. And when my mother had approached me, I just remember thinking, there is no way I can do this. I just can't. I just need to, just try and lay low and just sort of get out of this one for a while and see what happens. But I couldn't see the end. And within this time frame, I became very aware that, I had one shot. So I detoxed and I stopped, and I went straight back to AA, which I'd already been at for about 3 or 4 months, and I wasn't actually sober at the time. I was often turning up to AA with a few beers in the car and sneaking in, pretending no one would know, but of course they all did. And so I went back with an ambition to try and, complete this task, which is to stay sober and to try and repair my life in some way. And AA has been integral in that. It's been an incredible journey. It's not easy. I still suffer anxiety. I feel like, without the alcohol to medicate me, the anxiety levels do rise. I'm a little bit neurotic anyway, which I think is, always can help with the predisposition to alcoholism. But I've just got to get on top of it. I've got to man up and start to, deal with this issue, because, at the age of 50, there wasn't many options, which I am now. So I was 48 when I stopped. And, it's given me the potential now to find a better life for myself. And the people that go to AA are very courageous, and people who do take on this, this debilitating illness and then find a way through and search for the light, whether it's with the help of their guide or their God or their own personal commitment to being a better person, mainly for others, I think, and for me, there's a huge part of altruism in this, because when you can think about other people and the effect that you have on their lives, it sort of takes you out of the picture, and in that and that you actually get to, you know, I guess, see some purpose greater than yourself, because I do believe that many alcoholics do have a proclivity to look at themselves and way too much of a, I guess, a viewpoint of, I won't say narcissism, but there is an element of that, I guess. But we're self... becomes more overriding than other things. And I think realizing who we are in humanity and what we are in a fellowship is just a groundbreaking, I guess, enlightenment for people, particularly if they are struggling. And I totally encourage anybody who has an alcohol problem, or any problem for that matter related to compulsions or addictions or pathological ways of thinking, to attend an AA or a whatever type of step program there is available. I'm just completely in awe of the traditions and the way that AA works, and it is a fantastic fellowship where people can share, engage, and indulge in healing. And I use that word indulge because it really is enjoyable at times. You know, it's not always great, but certainly it comes with its benefits, and those are to share with like-minded people who struggle. And for that reason, I'm very grateful to Alcoholics Anonymous and Bill and Bob. And that's my message for today. Thank you for listening.
Oh, thank you so much, Matt, and for your message today. It was really great to hear from you. So that's all we have time for today. Thank you again to Manav, Albert and Matt for joining us in the studio today, and to all of you for listening. You're on air each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. here on 104.6 Planet FM. If you or anyone you know is in need of help from AA, please either call us on 0800 AA Works, that's 0800 229 6757. I'll just repeat that, 0800 229 6757, or visit the AA website, www.aa.org.nz, when you can find a raft of other information. And finally, you can find today's recording and others on the Planet FM website, www.planetaudio.org.nz, under the program name AA On Air. So finally, will you please help me and close this meeting with the Serenity Prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.